It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Hope that you will enjoy the study today. We continue the study in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading up with the 11th verse. We've gotten down through verse 14, but it's all in one point there, so we're going to start reading with verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11 of the book of Malachi. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hopefully that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Malachi chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. We're going to end the reading there in the fourth verse of the third chapter, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we just thank and praise you that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to proclaim your word. I hope that all that are listening today are coming for the purpose of growing and knowing more about you, Lord Jesus. And we know, Father, that in order to know your Son, the Lord Jesus, so that they may know you, that they must be born again first. So I ask today that this word will just penetrate the hearts of the lost they will be convicted, and that they will recognize their sin, and they will come by faith to you, come for salvation. Please, dear Lord, today that be the case. And Father, I don't need to know. You need to accept them, and you will if they just come with a repentant heart. Call upon you for salvation, and they're saved. And then, dear Father, they begin to grow. We find this, the Jews are, Israel is in a mess at this time. The priests are a mess, the people are a mess, and they need to repent. Much like today, Father, much like today. Please touch every heart now. Show them the way to salvation, all that are listening, and then begin this walk, this joyful walk of salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, and we find that the words, what has happened? First, the deals with the priests. They have chosen to accept most anything, whether it be lame or blind or sick or whatever they sacrifice. Well, they just took it, and it didn't mean anything to them. And so it starts with them, and it always starts with the leadership. The leadership begins to falter, and when the leadership begins to falter, then it's not long that there's a problem. And we find that here, because we find that the priests were there first, and then it comes down to the people. And we find something very horribly happening when they return from captivity. And as we've said before, I believe that they've been back from captivity approximately 100 years. And they've been looking to their right and to their left, and they find all these folks of other nations that have moved into their land, taken their land over. And when they came back, why, they begin to dwell amongst them more so than ever. And of course, this has been a problem from the start. They brought a lot of the gods out of Egypt. They were supposed to clean the land and get rid of all the Vites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the Vites. They were supposed to get rid of all those, and they didn't. They removed some, didn't remove all of them, and so they stayed among them. Now they've been in captivity for 70 years, and now they're back. And during this time, the men have chosen to leave their wives and take of the women that serve other gods, strange gods, as verse 11 says. That's kind of a summary of what has taken place. And so when we get down two separate sections here, and we've covered this before, but we're going to repeat it just a little bit here. We come to verse 13, and this have ye done again, and then covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out. And that is not of the repentant heart of these men that have chosen other, have divorced their wives and taken on the wives of strange gods. They have here, this is the wives that have been left and abandoned, the families that have been abandoned by these men. And yet they still bring their offerings, because verse 12 tells us, you know, I don't care. The Lord says, I don't care who you are. Are you a master, or are you a scholar, or you you come to the tabernacles of Jacob, and you offer these sacrifices and these offerings, and I don't care. He says, I don't care that you're doing that, because you need to straighten your life up, and you need to walk with the Lord Jesus. And then we come down to verse 14, and it says, yet ye say, wherefore? What's the reason? What's the problem? Why is my old wife, my divorced wife, why is she weeping and crying? I don't see a problem here. Well, they've been abandoned. Why isn't the Lord receiving their offering and sacrifices? It's because of what they have done, and they no longer serve the Lord. Even though they're bringing their offerings and sacrifices unto the Lord, they're still a part of these strange gods, as Solomon in his latter days began to do. So we find here in verse 14, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and wife of thy covenant." You made a commitment, and you made a commitment to your wife, to care for her, to cherish her, to meet all of her needs. You have abandoned her, and yet you still come right to the temple and bring your offering just like everything is fine. It's not fine. That's what the Lord is saying here very clearly. Verse 15, "And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed." As we look at these scriptures here, we find these strange gods are foreign gods, and they married out of the camp of Israel. And we know that as we look at these verses of scripture here, why we find that they undoubtedly were very beautiful women, and they went after probably these Israelite men, and they fell to them. And as we find these pagan marriages, and it was a serious, serious problem, as we find the attitude and the way that they looked at things, they didn't see it to be a problem, and did not make one. Now, if you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, how many wives did God make Adam? Did he make him two, three, four, five? God made Adam one wife. That's what it's talking about. And did not he make one wife? Adam may never take another. He was given one wife. There was never a time that Adam should put her away to make room for another. And that's what these folks were doing. They were so far away from the Lord that they had no desire to take care of their bride of many years, of youth, as it says here, wife of thy youth, wife of thy covenant, as the scripture calls it here. Adam was given one wife, Eve, one. The scripture calls him a helpmeet, a completer. That was the purpose. Adam was found without a completer, and the Eve was created to complete Adam. And once Adam is complete, so Adam is half, and Eve is half, and now we have one. And so when it says here, did not he make one? Yes, he did. He made one bride. But when you come together, you are one. One man, one woman. And the purpose was that he might seek a godly seed. The seed that should bear the image of God. The seed that is supposed to be given for the purpose, employed for the purpose, and to be in the service of God. You see, these men lost total track of what their responsibility was not only to take care of their wife, but also to produce seed that would also be godly seed, of the godly line. And that is impossible when you marry the daughters of strange gods. That was impossible to produce, to have what God desires, what God commands. It's impossible to have that when you have intermarried with strange gods. Now, how's that compare to today? You raised in a Christian home, a home that believes in the time of being born again, being saved, coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. Were you raised in that kind of a home? And then you sought your bride or you sought your husband, and as this come about, did you seek someone that was saved, born again, of like faith, that could two then come together and be one and then produce once again a godly seed? Or did you go out to the lost? Did you go out and seek someone of the world? As what was happening here, they were looking at the outside appearance and not the inside appearance. They were looking at these beautiful women, and that's all they wanted. They thought no further than what they were doing in destroying their families. And they married, they divorced and married these daughters of foreign gods. There is only one God. Let's come back just a little bit. What is the purpose for a man to find a woman, to find his wife, and to cleave to her, as the scripture tells us? You know, as we look back here in Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5, we can start about the 21st verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submit. Boy, that's a word you don't hear today. I'm not going to submit to anybody. That's what we hear today. This is what the Word of God is saying. To have that wonderful relationship that God wants you to have with your spouse and with God. Submit yourselves one to another. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. See, we've lost all that. We've lost all that. Just because the man has been placed into the position of leadership, the wife has much work to do, and she is the completer of her husband. Her husband needs that support, the direction, the wisdom of the wife. All these things need to be had and need to be gained that the husband can be who he should be. But he is the ultimate head of the household. He is the leader. That too is something that's went away. That's the reason you see so few of folks today, that are not being saved, because they've never learned how to submit to anybody. And if you don't submit to anyone, then you are never going to submit yourself unto the Lord Jesus for salvation. I'm going to read this again and we'll get on. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, and the church being all born again believers, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We've lost all of that. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Need to be willing to die for our bride, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is God's plan, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and wife, see that you reverence her husband. As we look at those verses of Scripture, once again, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 21 down through verse 33. So, we find that it spoke of one, and did he make one? Did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? The Spirit, the joy of being born again. We enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit within our heart. The Old Testament saints, they just had the power and the possession of the Holy Spirit to come down upon them. And so as we enjoy the desire of that, being led by the Spirit of God, being one, and that was the problem, because they had left their covenant wife, the wife of their youth, had left them, abandoned them. We find them weeping and crying at the altar. And God hears those tears. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and the abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Bad enough that they would marry outside of Israel, outside of their tribe. But it was much worse than that, because they abandon their brides, abandon their families, and chose these women. And yet they still continued to come to the altar. Should never abandon them. God's holding them responsible. And did not he make one man, one woman, and they become one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, the last part of verse 15, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. So we're talking about divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. The Lord, through Malachi, is trying to awaken these people. And then it comes on in verse 17 and says, Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? You see, when they come, and they see nothing wrong with what they have done, they continue to bring their offerings and their sacrifices, and there doesn't seem to be any concern that they have done anything wrong. And the Lord says, you have wearied me in your ways. And they said, what? How? How have we done that? And then they continue, and ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Where is the judgment, God, the God of judgment? They saw nothing wrong with what they were doing. And they had turned evil to good in their minds. They've turned evil to good. Now, it's so sad when we continue to look to the Word of God and study the Word of God. And in Proverbs, it repeats it, but here is one of them. In chapter 16 of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. These men saw nothing wrong with what they were doing, nothing at all, had no remorse, no concern for family, no concern for their welfare, none whatsoever. We've divorced you, go, and I've got my new bride. God is condemning that, saith he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. But it comes down in verse 17. It's so sad because they do not recognize that. Wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, where is the God of judgment? They see no problem. They've turned everything to the other direction. Now, upon that time, and again, we repeat many times, that the end of a verse and the beginning of another chapter does not necessarily that we've went on to another subject, because it doesn't. Man has put the chapters and the verses in, so it helps us to understand and to study the Scripture. But we come from where is the God of judgment to behold, I will send my messenger. And so one comes right into the other. Behold, I will send my messenger. And of course we know that's John the Baptist. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the first two verses, the first verse of chapter 3. So you see, we come from where is the God of judgment? If this is a problem, where's his judgment? Well, we're going to find, we get down to the purge them as gold and silver. And we're talking about the refiner's fire and the like a fuller's soap down in verse 2. And so we need to see that there is a purifying that needs to go on. And of course, the only way that the purifying can begin is begins by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust in him as our Savior, walk each day as trusting in him, and then do the work, because the messenger's coming, and the only thing he's going to announce is the Savior is coming. So you say, what's the problem? Well, there's going to be a problem, because when the Lord Jesus comes, he doesn't come to judge, as it says here in the beginning. He comes to seek and to save those that are lost. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?